In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saturday night last week was like a living nightmare. It's the kind of experience that only happens to other people, not to you, not on your own doorstep. But it happened to us. It happened on our own doorstep, literally. It happened in our own community that we love and that we've served in Christ's name for over 1,400 years. Those years have seen their fair share of war and pestilence and fire, but I doubt that ever before has the church been inaccessible to worshippers for a week. Inaccessible as the place of peace and contemplation that people expect and need. Inaccessible as the place of welcome and embracing radical hospitality and love that we seek to be. But it happened. When I first heard that something was happening in the London Bridge area, I put on my dog collar and headed down Bankside to try and open up the cathedral so that we could be a place of refuge. But initially, I didn't get far. So I went through the back alleys and got as far as Park Street and Neil's Yard Dairy and the Market Porter. But heavily armed police barred my way and forced me back. "Run, run," was all they shouted. I was directed onto Southwark Street and there saw people lying on the pavement being cared for by the emergency services. "Run, run," was all I could hear through the sound of sirens and helicopters. And I was forced on and on until I got back to the deanery and shut the door behind me on the living nightmare. Around midnight, I received a text from Amir Eden, a young man who lives on Park Street, a lawyer who was a pupil at Cathedral School, a practicing Muslim who's the chair of the Bankside Residents Forum. "Could I come to yours? I can't really go anywhere," was his text. I texted back, "Of course." And so he arrived, and with eight other people, spent the night in our house. The rest, I suppose, you know. Eight people brutally killed. 48 people horribly injured. The cathedral was forcibly entered by the police, searching for more attackers. Doors broken down, glass smashed, in a desperate effort to stop more bloodshed. It happened on our doorstep, on the threshold of God's house. And now we're here on this Trinity Sunday, back in this sacred place, which is still sacred. The risen body of Jesus bears the marks of the nails and the spear. And Jesus shows his hands and his side to his disciples. The sacristy door, as you've probably already seen, shows the marks of the baton rounds fired at it to break open the door and allow the police access. We bear on our body the marks of suffering that so many bear in their flesh and in their spirit and in their soul. St. Matthew, in our gospel reading that we've just heard, places the final encounter of the disciples with the risen Jesus not on the Mount of Olives just outside the city of Jerusalem, but back in Galilee, the place where they started, the place of call. And from that place of call, he sends them out to the nations to take the good news, to baptize and teach. But then, before he leaves them, he makes a promise to them and a promise to us. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In the horror of the moment, it's all too easy to imagine that you're on your own, that you're abandoned to the nightmare, lost in the terror. But Jesus says, no, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. God was not absent on that Saturday night. God is never absent. The psalmist knows it to be true when they say, where can I go then from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. We are not abandoned by the Spirit. We are not abandoned by the Father. We are not abandoned by the Son, for we have this promise, I am with you always. On Friday, as Bishop Christopher has already said, I was invited to go to our local mosque by the Imam. I went with the Bishop and other clergy from here, and we were welcomed with open arms. I'd been invited to speak to the packed congregation. The Imam preached about our shared humanity and our shared heritage through Adam. And I was able, of course, to respond to that, taking your greetings to our brothers and sisters, telling them that we do not hold the Muslim community to blame, telling them that we recognize that we share so much, praying peace upon you, greeting them as Paul greets the Christians in the multicultural, multi-faith, complex, and exciting city of Corinth, as we heard in our second reading. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. My brothers and sisters, that is what we have to do. What we share is what God has given, a shared heritage, a shared humanity, not just with the Muslim community, but with all people, all men and women, regardless of anything that others might identify as difference. Difference does not mean division, unless we choose to make it so. And we, here, choose to make difference a blessing and an enrichment to our community, which is why we celebrate who you are, who we are. Male and female, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, gay and straight. And I will say that again and again and again from this pulpit, until it is deep in all our hearts, to the very core of our being. The great metaphysical poet and Dean of St. Paul's, John Donne, famously wrote a poem that you know so well. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Any man's death diminishes me, which is what the Quran teaches, that killing one life is killing all life. We have all been scarred by what happened last Saturday on our doorstep, and we will bear those scars, but they will not make us bitter, but make us stronger. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, said Edmund Burke. We will not do nothing. We will rebuild with the community what good things we have. We will rebuild the joy and diversity, the confidence, the acceptance, the inclusive, radically beautiful nature of this community that has been built over centuries and millennia. The roots go deep and cannot be destroyed by evil men, and we will not allow it, but will confront that evil with love. The feast of the Holy Trinity is the feast of relationship, that beautiful relationship of diversity in the very Godhead, the perichoresis, the divine dance into which we're drawn. And we're drawn and invited to this altar, to this table, through the Spirit, by the Father, to share in what the Son gives to us. With scarred hands, he gives his broken body to us. With scarred hands, he gives his shed blood to us. And he asks us to eat and drink so that through his death we may have life. He is always with us. He keeps his promise. He is always with us, always. At the altar, in the world, walking through the dangerous places and showing his scarred self to a scarred world and making it ultimately beautiful.